part three of the Buzz Bubble interview with Val DeFebo. On the Buzz Bubble.
What are some other examples of things that you've seen in analytics that have made, you know, is it just from moving things around a website, watching click paths, or, you know, what are some other examples of saw this, made this adjustment?
Well, literally we do it every day on so many of our clients. So on PNC, which is a bank in Pittsburgh. I don't know if you know it, because people...
I'm a Philly fan. I know.
Right, okay. So in this part of the country, we all know it. Out west, there isn't a lot of visibility to PNC. But, you know, every single day, we're looking at everything that we're offering and all the different ads that we have out there. And we say, this didn't work, this didn't work. We have to change this. The offer's not right here. The offer's not right for this market. And so you're constantly optimizing that stuff. I wouldn't necessarily say it's placement of a message on the website more than kind of what's motivating people to do things, to take an action, to open a new account, or to deepen their relationship with the institution.
How do you find the integration of the analytics folks and the account people? And, you know, sometimes they don't speak the same language, and it's an art. I know that you guys do it well, but, you know, is there any challenges there when they, how does that information flow back to the people that have to change the execution?
You know what, we must be really lucky, because we have great data analytics people that speak English, and that makes a big difference.
Right.
So they don't just say, here's the model that shows you that this is wrong or right and blah, blah, blah. They come down and say, here's what I found. Here's what I think we need to do.
Okay.
Let's talk about it. And it's a conversation. It's a conversation about what we would be giving up versus what we would be getting. And it's wild receptivity. People love the data folks. When you walk around here later and you say, you know, what do you think of so-and-so? What do you think of Paul? What do you think of Alex? They'll say, we love those guys. They're geeks, but they're great. You know, they're great. They love them. They learn so much from them, and they're open. You know, this agency is all about results. And so if you can make me better, if you can make me make my ads better, my communications better, I love you. I want you. I want you more. And so there are no barriers to that. It's, you know, we love effies. We love when our clients call us and tell us things are working. So, you know,
that's
those
great
guys are the rock stars here. Hate to say it.
But it also sounds like, and I'll move into the culture question, is that you don't have a lot of walls here, you know, literally or figuratively. You know, it's like, well, you know, they work with them. They, you know, you don't just look to them, give me the data, and then we're going to look at it and see what's wrong. It's like, no, they come with, they solve the problem and then move it to the next step.
Yeah, the space was designed around the culture, because we were fortunate enough to move here just about 11 years ago. And so we already had a pretty well-defined culture, and that was fully integrated, meaning in the old space, we used to stand in the hallway and talk to each other and say, and it would just be sort of a congregation, and most of the work happened in the hallways. And
really?
We said, when we come here, we don't want that to change. We want the cubicles to be low enough so that people can talk over them and you can have meetings at cubicles. We don't want the walls to be so high you can't see people's faces.
Right.
We want glass so that people can walk right in, or you can see who's passing. And if you need someone while they're passing, you feel totally comfortable to grab them and pull them into your meeting.
Right.
So the way we sit is not segregated. In other words, we have media folks and account planners and data analytics people kind of all sitting together.
Right.
You know, we do it, the space is pretty big. It's over 130,000 square feet. And so what we try to do is put teams a little bit close together.
Right.
So, you know, the PNC team will sit in the same general vicinity.
Right.
But Ivana, that could be
gave me
a little
look in around, and she said, yeah, if you look around, the people are all mixed up. And I knew she didn't mean the people were mixed up. I knew she meant that, you know, it's not an apartment or...
Wow. That's actually part of the culture, too.
That's fine, right? I think we like those
it
folks.
Is.
But it's not a department, it's not an account, you know, it's however it works best and who you're working with today, maybe.
It's always been about thinking. And so if you have something to contribute, we want to hear from you. And this culture thrives on that. It's the way we design the space. It's the way it's the way we operate. So there aren't a lot of closed spaces here.
Anything else about the culture that you think is just, you know, if I had to say this is Deutsch as opposed to, you know, what else is out there? Anything else about the culture you think you'd...
Well, you know what's interesting? I've learned the most about the culture from two places. One, from Donnie, who established the culture. And in his, you know, Donnie, if you think about what he's represented over the years, it's been a smart businessman, appropriately aggressive when it comes to business, very innovative, always thinking, the bar is never high enough for me, right, I've got to reach higher. And I think that permeates in the walls here. But there's also a real sense of belonging. And I know everyone says that, but my proof point for that, and this is the other place I've learned from, is people come back here. So people leave, and we call them boomerangers. Mm-hmm. They leave, and they say, I have to go somewhere else, I have to learn something. And then they call, and they say, no place is like Deutsch. It's just so different. I feel so at home. The people are different. The spirit is different. Yeah. And so that's where I've learned a lot about the culture, from the people who come back and say, these are the things that are different. And at a recent funeral of a coworker who passed, so many people came back. So many ex-Deutschers came back and said, this is our family, we had to come. And I thought, oh, this is amazing. It's just an amazing emotional turnout. And it was as much for the person who passed as it was to mourn with the community they felt like they belonged to. And I thought that was really special and a sign of this, you know.
Yeah, it's not easy to do. And it's such a, you know, trophy on the wall to be able to do that and say that and, you know, build a place like this and have people feel that sense of family. It's an art. You know, we try and do it at our agency.
Sure.
And I heard you refer to them as Deutschers, and we have buzzers. Right. And if you can really, you know, create a place that they love to be. You know, they spend so many hours of their week, life, you know.
They do.
At the agency, and it's great that they can feel that sense of family.
You know, about a year ago, we did a survey for Cranes, and Vonda said, Val, you know, what do you think people who, it's based on what people think. So literally, we send the survey out to the whole agency, and they can write in that, like, this place is horrible, and you would not, you know, and we'll find that out when we get the survey back. But we said, no, we think people like it. Let's send it out and see what happens and see the results. And we won. We actually made the list. I'm not shocked by that, because it's what I see every day.
You had no reservations because you just said, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Wow.
So, and you don't get a better vote than the people, the people who live here every day.
Let's go into some of the work, if that's all right. Always been a fan of the IKEA work. And so many great campaigns that you have now. The Brace Change is one that came to mind for me. I thought it was a great campaign. Were there any reservations, maybe tell me about how it came about, and then were there any reservations on the client side of being so closely aligned with the political party and a political figure?
No, IKEA has been a client, had been a client of ours for a long time, and they are an interesting company because they like to do things differently. They're okay with breaking the norm, you know, they like that. And so,
great client.
They're a great client, they're a great brand, and we've had a great run with them. We've had a couple of great runs with them, which is another story. Anyway, the interesting thing about that effort was it was a reopening of a store in Washington, D.C. And so a lot of times those don't get a lot of press, they don't get a lot, they don't get a lot of funding, for sure. But it was a big initiative for them. So they said, we don't have a lot of money, but we want to make noise. We want to make a lot of noise. Do you guys have any ideas? And we said, and this is one of those places where you say, an integrated agency comes to the table with ideas that aren't just about 15-second television commercials.
Right,
we said,
right.
This is actually a big idea. It's more of a guerrilla idea. It's more of a PR idea. But here's what we think will work for you by using Obama and his whole platform of change. And they weren't scared at all, in fact. They loved it. They thought it was a great idea, and they turned out to be right. I mean, we're actually going to win an Effie next month for the work, so that's great. But it really embraces their spirit, that they are not afraid. They like to make a big splash. They like to make noise. And the funniest thing about that campaign is that people thought Obama really did buy furniture. I don't know if you've seen
the limo. Oh, yeah, the limo. Yeah. They thought that was his limo with the... on top and the chair coming out of the trunk.
Right.
Because he can't afford to get a moving truck. He's going to put it right in the limo.
Right in
that
the limo.
Great.
And they said, it's so nice to see him embracing that value, And I thought, wow, that's great. So, so that was a great effort. It really was. And it generated so much more than they expected with such limited funds. So that's,
So much press coverage. And that was fantastic.
And by the way, it had rub off to the whole brand. So we were, when you go on national television, you get that kind of presence and that kind of media coverage. It wasn't just Washington, D.C. that got the benefit from that. IKEA all over the country and in other countries got press about that. So it was great.
That's it for part three of the Buzz Bubble interview with Val DeFebo. Tune in next week for part four. On the Buzz Bubble.